Well, last week we started a new sermon series called Cheap Thrills. And these next, starting last week, this week, and next week, we'll finish up this sermon series next week. This is a sermon series all about temptation. Man, college student, don't you know the devil loves to tempt you with the things of this world? Don't you know that he wants you to fall away from the Lord? He wants you to fall away from reading your Bible, and he wants you to love the things of this world. And Pastor did a phenomenal job last week of opening up this series. Man, if you're curious, this series is based on the verse from 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. And those verses are this right here. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. And so, college student, I hope you'd get excited with me tonight, but if you have your Bibles, will you open up with me to Luke chapter 4 tonight? Man, we're going to be in Luke chapter 4 tonight. And before we jump into our passage, I just want to let you know, college student, you have a choice. You have a choice when it comes to facing temptation. And I know temptation is all around you. Maybe it's in your at your college campus. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's with your roommates. Maybe it's, man, at a workplace that you work at. I know you are surrounded by temptation, but I want to let you know you have a choice, and that choice leads to consequences. You know, a lot of times when we hear the word consequences, we think negatively. Yeah, sure, absolutely. When you make a bad choice, there are bad consequences. But I want to tell you, when you make a godly choice, there are godly consequences. God rewards faithfulness and obedience when you say no to temptation. But I want to ask you, what are you doing in your life? What are you doing on a daily basis to prepare yourself to face the temptation that you see every single day? Because in our passage tonight, Luke chapter 4, we see the greatest model of all time. We see Jesus in the wilderness facing the devil one-on-one, and we'll see every single temptation that the devil threw at Adam and Eve in Genesis, that the devil tried to use against Jesus in the wilderness, and the same temptations that he uses against you on a daily basis in your college days. But man, I am so thankful that we know the schemes of the enemy, man. God gives you a way out. Aren't you thankful for that? And so, man, I'm so excited to jump into the Word with you tonight. And so I'm going to pray for us as we cover this topic. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the devil hates a sermon like this. The devil would hate for you to know the schemes that he has for you. The devil would love for you to ignore how he attacks you. Because, college students, let's be honest, we have vulnerabilities and we have weaknesses. And the devil attacks you when you're the most vulnerable and when you're at your weakest state. But what do you do in that moment? What do you do in your state of crisis? Well, we're going to see what Jesus does tonight in our passage through 13 verses. And so as we jump in, man, let's prepare our hearts. Let's pray. And we're going to read God's word tonight. Heavenly Father, you're good, Lord God. I thank you for you. Lord, I thank you for tonight and this opportunity to open your word. God, I pray for these college students. Lord, maybe some of them came in and they just feel like they're losing a battle. God, I pray from this passage, Lord, that they would be encouraged and that they would see because of you, God, because of what you've done for us, because of the model that you set of how to flee from temptation, how to say no to temptation, God, I pray that these college students would have victory in their life, God. Lord, that they would flee from temptation, God, and they would run to you, Lord. God, thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for Jesus and giving us this example in Luke chapter 4. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, college students, man, we're going to jump in. We got a lot to cover tonight. So we'll be in Luke chapter 4 tonight, and we're going to walk through verses 1 through 13. So I'm going to read our 13 verses for us tonight, and I got a couple quick things that I'm going to give you tonight. So God's word says this right here. Then Jesus left the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. I could see that. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, it is written, man must not live on bread alone. Verse 5, so he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, I will give you their splendor and all of this authority because it has been given over to me and I can give it to anyone I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So he took him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from there. For it is written, now this is the devil, this is the tempter using scripture now. For it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you. And they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And verse 12, Jesus answered him, it is said, do not test the Lord your God. And I love verse 13. After the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. Point number one that I want to give you tonight, college students, is the devil's first offer is the lust of the flesh. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give you our title for tonight. I'm excited to jump in, if you can tell. The title of our message tonight is You Get What You Pay For. You get what you pay for. And as you see, the devil with these temptations, these three things that Coach covered last week out of 1 John 2, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's possessions. That's exactly what we're going to see here tonight in Luke chapter 4. But the best part about it is what Jesus models for us is when you trust in three things, the three things that Jesus trusted in this passage, I'm telling you, you can have freedom from these temptations. You can win the battle against temptation, but you can't do it in your own strength. And so the first offer that the devil offers Jesus is the lust of the flesh. In Luke chapter 4, picking up, this is right after his baptism. We read that he's full of the Holy Spirit and he's led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted for the next 40 days. So the first question I can ask you, college student, right off the, as we jump into tonight, is, man, when you face temptation, when you are fighting temptation, what's leading you? What are you using? What are you trying to fight? How are you trying to fight against the temptation that you face in your life? Because if you're leading yourself, I bet you're losing the battle. If your emotions are leading you, I bet you're losing the battle. But later on, we're going to see what what Jesus uses to win the battle against the first offer. And again, there's three offers that we're going to walk through tonight. And from the are we being led by the Spirit or are we leading ourselves? Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 say this, I say then, walk by the Spirit and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. Man, the devil would love for you tonight, college student. The devil would love for you to walk around tonight saying, I got this. I don't need help in my fights. I don't need help against these temptations. The devil would love for you to say, you can do it. But I want you to think about a time in your life when you fought temptation, when you were struggling with sin. I want to ask you, when you were trying to do it on your own strength, how'd that go for you? And man, you can have victory in this fight, but man, you got to rely on Jesus. Man, the devil would love for you to say, I got this. And look at this, as Jesus finishes his 40-day fast, we see the devil's first offer by asking, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And remember, Jesus was being tempted, as we learn in our first four verses, Jesus was being tempted through all 40 days. And what's so clever about the devil is the devil would have been watching Jesus through these 40 days. I know, college student, I hope you know the devil watches you. The devil knows the weak points of your life. The devil knows your vulnerabilities. The devil knows what to use against you. And the devil brought his first offer to Jesus when Jesus would be at his hungriest at the end of the fast. You see, he didn't tempt Jesus at the beginning of the fast. If you're the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. But no, he tempted him at the end of it because he tempted Jesus. He put Jesus in a position to show his deity at the end of the fast. If the devil tempted Jesus at this state, what makes you think he won't do the same to you? When you're at your weakest, when you're at your lowest, the devil wanted Jesus to prove himself. Basically, the devil was challenging Jesus that if he was the Son of God, why was he deprived physically? Why would the Son of God be deprived physically if he's really God? And so the devil put him to the test. If you're the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. And I want you to hear this. The devil wants you to doubt the character of God because he wants you to doubt the capabilities of God. Like I just said, man, we just sang that worship song. All my life, he has been faithful. But when we need God to come through in a moment where we don't have faith, do we trust that? Do we believe that? Or do we fall for the devil's first offer of the lust of the flesh? The devil wants you to doubt the character of God because he wants you to doubt the capabilities of God. The devil wanted Jesus to act in his own strength, because what you have to remember in this moment, college student, is Jesus in the wilderness is 100% human. The God we serve, Jesus, living the perfect, sinless life on this earth, he was 100% man, but at the same time, he was the 100% God. And so Jesus was tempted the same way me and you are. And that's why he can sympathize with us. That's why he can relate to us, but he did it differently than Adam. Because if you take it all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, man, Adam and Eve, they had everything when the devil tempted them, and they fell into this. Jesus was in the wilderness with nothing. And so this is what the devil does. This is how clever the devil is. I heard a pastor say, the devil is crafty, but he's not creative. The devil is crafty, but he's not creative. Why? Because the same thing that he did to Adam and Eve in the garden, he tried to do to Jesus in the wilderness. And I'm beyond, man, the devil, he got the first man on earth to fall into sin. So why not try to do the same thing to Jesus? But man, Jesus models something that's so good of, man, you can say no. You can say no. Because as I was studying, there is a pattern when it comes to temptation. This is what the devil wants to do to you when you have a desire. Satan appealed to a legitimate desire of Jesus. He appealed to Jesus' hunger. If you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. But this is what Satan does. He suggested that Jesus fulfilled the legitimate desire in an illegitimate way. Don't miss that. The devil wanted Jesus to meet the legitimate desire in an illegitimate way. So let me ask you, college student, and we're going to be real tonight, because I know we live in an immoral time today. People don't value the gift of sex. Sex is a gift from God. Sex is a real desire, but immorality is sin. Hunger is a real desire, and we don't want to talk about it, but gluttony, overeating, idolatry, these things are sin. And so that's exactly what the devil is doing to you in your life, college student. He wants you to think of a physical desire that you have, and he wants you to meet it your way. He wants you to do it in your own strength. He wants you to go around the will of God. He wants you to say, hey, I got this. I can do this. But this is the first thing that Jesus models for us. We see three things about Jesus' obedience. And A is this right here. Jesus' obedience, he trusted in God's provision. Jesus trusted in God's provision. And we saw that in verse 4 when he answered. But Jesus answered him, it is written, man must not live on bread alone. And if you turn into your Bibles, you don't have to. I have it on the screen. This is Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, he humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your ancestors had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus was more concerned with what the word said rather than what the devil said. Jesus knew what the word of God said. College students, man, when the devil tempts you with a specific temptation, when the devil tempts you with a specific sin, do you know what the Bible has to say about that specific thing? When the devil tempts you with a physical desire, do you trust God's provision? Desiring a job, wanting to have a job, that's a good desire. That's what we're called to work. But do you meet that desire in your own way? Do you meet that desire in your own strength? Do you do it your way? Or do you trust God that he'll provide for you in that? And man, the most incredible part about this with our first offer that we see by the devil and the first response we see by Jesus, the most incredible part about this is that Jesus didn't use some spiritual source that's inaccessible to us. He used the same word of God that we have full access to today. Jesus answered the devil's first offer with the same thing that you have full access to today. But I'm going to make a statement. Jesus didn't deny the devil's first offer just because of access to the word of God. He denied it by the application of the word of God. Jesus could deny the devil's first offer because he applied the word of God to his life. And I don't want you to miss this truth right here. Access to the word of God without application is apathy. Access to the Word of God without application is apathy. And apathy, I just looked up a simple definition of apathy, is defined as a lack of interest or concern. A lack of. Do you have concern for the sin in your life? When the devil approaches you and tempts you with sin, do you have concern about it? Or you're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Better yet, man, when you think about spending time in the Word of God, man, college students, I know you have a busy life. I know you, some of y'all are working. I've talked to college students who work two jobs. You're going to school. You're trying to get a degree. You're trying to figure out what am I supposed to do with my life? But as your days get busier and busier, do you prioritize this more and more? Do you prioritize the Bible less and less? Because I guarantee you, some of you, and I'm not here to beat you up, but I am here to share truth with you. I can imagine some of you walked in here tonight and you're losing the battle. You're in sin. You feel like you're stuck in sin, but you haven't looked to the thing that you have full access to today, and that's God's Word. Will you apply it to your life? Will you apply the Word of God in your life and see that you can have freedom from sin in your life? Will you apply the Word of God in your life and know that, man, God, Jehovah Jireh, he's the Lord, our provider. He will provide in your life. But the question is, will you sit down and spend time with God? Will you take God at his word? When God's word says something, do you take it seriously or go back to apathy, a lack of interest or a lack of concern? And for me, I think about a time when I was in middle school. Some of you may have heard little bits and pieces of this, but man, our pastor Daniel, he coached me in middle school basketball. That's one of the first times we met. I was 13 years old, and he was 18 when we met, so I was an eighth grader at this point. So he saw the Dakota that had lost a little bit of weight. But a sixth grade Dakota and seventh grade Dakota, imagine me about yay high. I tried to do the Justin Bieber hair, but my hair used to grow out instead of like thin and flowy like JB. And then, man, I was round. I was round. And you can imagine a redhead in blue warm-up pants. I went to Elmore Park Middle School, a green t-shirt that said EPMS across of it, man. It was tough for me as a redhead in middle school. And I remember I played middle school basketball at Elmore Park all 3 years, but I wanted to play varsity. And man, I was thankful for a coach. My head coach, he shot me straight. He said, Dakota, if you want to play varsity basketball here, you have to lose weight and you have to get in shape. I had a coach tell me the only shape I knew was round. That was tough, man. But we're going to fast forward to eighth grade, right? My seventh grade summer, I'll never forget this. I took my coach at his word. I said, man, if I want to play varsity, I have to do something about it. And so every summer growing up, I would go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. That's where my grandparents live, and go visit them and things like that. And they lived in a condo, and their condo had a gym. And let me tell you something about this gym. It had a treadmill, a pool table in the middle. It's like a gym slash game room type deal. Pool table in the middle, and had the bare minimum weight machine where I could do the bare minimum. And so that summer, I prioritized, I'm going to run on the treadmill, I'm going to swim in the pool, and I'm going to figure out how to lift weights as a seventh grader. Had no idea what I was doing. But that summer, you know, you fast forward to my eighth grade year, and I don't know about for you guys, but when I was in middle school, eighth grade, you get to school a little bit early, you get your schedule and stuff like that, see you have class with and stuff like that. And that day I was picking up my schedule with my parents, I ran into my varsity head coach, and he told me, he said, Dakota, I'm excited to see you at tryouts. Now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't a terrible basketball player. I was probably a mediocre basketball player. Went into tryouts, I had good tryouts, but this is what I learned years later down the road. Our head coach told Daniel something that he shared with me years down the line. He said, man, Dakota, I'll never forget, Coach Edwards leaned over to me and said, Dakota Tucker's going to make the team this year because I told him to do something, and he did it. College students, do you take the word of God seriously? And are you doing what you need to do to prepare yourself against the devil's attacks? Because me, I did what I had to do to prepare myself to play varsity basketball. But man, when it comes to sin and temptation, it's so much more serious than that. Do you take the word of God for what it says, or do you have a lack of concern or a lack of interest in it? Some of us in here may be falling into temptation simply because we don't know what the Bible has to say about a specific sin. And if you don't know what the Bible has to say about it, man, ask questions, learn, be a learner of God's word. But you have to answer the question, do you care enough to learn what the Bible has to say about that specific sin? Do you care enough to learn what the Bible has to say about the specific sin? Because you see, Jesus, he cared about the spiritual more than the physical. He cared about his spiritual need, his time with the Father, more than needing to eat bread. He put the physical in the background so he could put the spiritual in the foreground, so he could focus on the spiritual. And look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Colossians, we don't need more apathetic believers in the world. We need more active believers in the world. We need believers that are going to take action in their faith. Stop rolling over to this battle when you can have victory in the battle. If you want to effectively resist temptation, you have to do the same thing Jesus did. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he answered the devil's lies with God's truth. Why base your life on an empty promise? Why base your life on the devil's lie when, man, God made you in his image and we have the truth? Man, do you see value in this? Is this important to you? Because this is your way. This is your freedom from temptation. This is your freedom from sin, your relationship with Jesus. But let's keep looking at our passage. Number two tonight is the devil's second offer was the lust of the eyes. The devil's second offer was the lust of the eyes. And we see that in verses 5 through 8. And I'll read them again. Verses 5 through 8 of Luke 4 says, "So he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, 'I will give you their splendor and all this authority because it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And so this is the important truth you have to learn about this. After Jesus denied the first offer, the devil came right back with the second offer. Colossians, you might have said no to the first offer, but are you saying no to the second offer? Or is it the second one that gets you? And notice, the devil takes Jesus up on a mountain to show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And there's a few things that I want us to look at and notice in this second temptation. And the first thing is the devil offers Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world. Notice the pluralness of that. The kingdoms of this earth. What the devil did was he tried to tempt Jesus with the very thing that was already promised to him. Psalm 2:8 says this, "Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession." And you see, the devil knew that Jesus had come to win over the earthly kingdoms. The devil knew that Jesus had come to see people come to know him. But he tried to tempt him with the very thing that was already given to you. The devil, what he wants to do to you, Colossian, man, God is, man, don't you know the God that you serve is a giver? Man, the God that we serve, the God of the Bible, Jesus, man, he gives you things. But the devil, what he would love for you to do is take those things, twist them, and make them feel like you don't have enough. Make you feel like you don't have enough. But not only that, what we can't overlook is the phrase, "in a moment of time." I've just been so fascinated with that phrase as I studied this passage, is because, man, the devil loves to get you in a hurry. The devil would love to make you feel rushed. The devil would love to sell you on a quick decision rather than a godly decision. Because when you make quick decisions, man, it's easier to make them in the flesh. But man, when you slow down and you take time to pray and say, "What does God's word say about this?" I guarantee you're more likely to make a godly decision. The devil offered all of the earthly kingdoms, their splendor and authority, all in exchange for Jesus to worship him. What kind of deal is that? The devil would love for you to worship the things of this world. The devil would love for you to chase after authority in this life. The devil would love for you to chase after the splendor of this world. The devil would love for you to chase a platform building your name. But college students, I want to tell you, there's going to be a day that we are going to pass away, that we're going to die, and our name will pass away. But 2,000 years later, man, Jesus is the name that we're still talking about. Jesus is the name that still can bring life change. Jesus is the name that can give you freedom from your temptation. But the question is, will you accept the offer from Jesus and deny the offer from the devil? Man, in a moment of time, slow down before you make decisions. But not only that, what the devil said to Jesus, he said, I can give this to you. All this authority has been given to me. Because again, if we go back to the beginning, all dominion had been given to Adam and Eve. Man, like I said, the God that you serve gives you things. The God that you serve gives you things. And we're going to read a few verses from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. And I challenge you, don't have to do it right now, but man, maybe when you go home or maybe the next time you're in Genesis chapter 1, I really challenge you to circle, underline, whatever you do in your Bible, circle every single time that it says all, rule, or every. Because in just these 4 to 5 verses through Genesis 1, 26 through 30, you are going to see that repeated over and over and over. And this is what God's word says. Then God said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, they will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the earth, of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything that having the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. College student, do you believe that the God of creation has given you everything that you need? The God of creation has given you everything that you need, but the devil would love for you to look at the things that you don't have. Or in better yet, I think Coach talked about this a little bit last week. The devil would love to make you think you're lacking or you need more. But are you content? Are you satisfied with the things that God has given you? Because he's given you all that you need. The God that you serve, the God of the Bible, gave you his only son. Why would we dare think he would withhold anything else from us? But the question is, are your desires lined up with the word of God? Because we have fleshly desires. We see things and we desire it, but we really don't need them. Or even, man, we compare to what other people have, and it's like, what does that add to your life? Do you believe that the God of creation has given you everything that you need? Again, the devil said that to Jesus because what Adam had in the beginning, he forfeited it. He gave it to the devil when he chose to rebel against God. Man, why forfeit the blessings of God just to be left empty with the temptation of the devil? The Lord wants to bless you, college student. I don't know what that looks like. But the Lord wants to bless you, man. He wants you to come into relationship with him. But man, the devil would love for you to look at all the things that are temporary. Because again, go back to that phrase, in a moment of time, a quick moment. And don't you know, in a quick moment, you can make a bad decision. If you don't have a decision thought through, you can make a bad decision. And when we make decisions, there are consequences. The devil knew that Jesus came to win the kingdoms of the earth. The devil offered Jesus a way to the kingdoms and splendor of the earth without fulfilling his purpose. The devil offered Jesus a way to have the kingdoms and splendor of the earth without fulfilling his purpose. What the devil wants you to do, he wants you to take the quick way to the destination. He wants you to go around what God has for you and just get there a little bit quicker. Because don't miss this, college student. If the Lord would have taken this offer, if Jesus would have accepted that offer and been given the authority, the kingdoms of the earth, and the splendor of the earth without the cross, there's no salvation. Don't miss that. The devil wants to attack you with the lust of the eyes. The devil wants you to do it your way. The devil wants you to go around what God has for you. And really, what this makes me think of, the devil wants to sell you on the fast pass rather than you waiting for God to move in your life. We're doing this cheap thrills amusement park theme. If you've ever been to an amusement park, man, you can buy a fast pass, something that's called a fast pass. And what that is, it's literally a little extra ticket that allows you to skip the line. That's literally it. And so Skylar and I, we've been to Universal in the past, and man, we've had a great time. I love that amusement park. It's a good time. And I'll never forget one time, one of the first times we went there, we had this random couple walk up to us, and imagine if we did campus ministry like this. You just walk up to somebody and just try to hand them something, but you don't say a single thing. Well, that's what happened to us. This random couple just walked up to us and said, I'm looking at Skylar like, whoa, what are we finna take? And then they offer us, they say, hey, do y'all want these free fast passes? And I'm be honest, man. Skylar and I looked at the prices of Fast Pass. No shot. That's an extra cost. We good. We'll wait. We'll wait our turn in line for the ride. Amen. But we accepted this Fast Pass, and man, what we tried to do is we tried to use it on one of the most popular rides in the amusement park, and I think it's called Hagrid's Motorbike Ride. It's one of the best roller coasters I've been on. You're literally riding a motorcycle. It's one of the most exhilarating rides that I've been on. But what happened was when we got in line and we tried to use this Fast Pass, this ride was excluded from the Fast Pass. Boy, I was mad, man, because that ride was a two-hour wait. So guess what we did? We hiked to the back of the line. We waited our 2 hours. We got to ride this ride. Had a great time. We did it again. But this is what I learned about a Fast Pass. This is the thing about a Fast Pass. It has limits. It can only take you so far. So with the devil, when he tries to sell you on this fast pass, when he tries to sell you on, oh, hey, I can give you what God wants to give you, but I can give it to you a little quicker. The devil can only take you so far because what the devil promised you has limits. The devil can only take you so far because what the devil promised you has limits. But will you trust, again, we can go back to our last point. Will you trust that God will provide? Will you trust that God cares for you, man? There are conditions with a fast pass, and the devil, he has conditions that he wants to trap you in. The devil wants to get you to look at the quicker way or the easier way. A fast pass in an amusement park costs extra, and it still has limits. Man, when you take the bait, when you get sold on a fast pass, it'll cost you. When you fall into sin, when you fall into temptation, when you take the offer from the devil, it'll cost you. And I want to ask you a question tonight, college student. Are you rushing to the next season of life because you think it'll bring you fulfillment? What about a relationship? Are you rushing into a relationship just because everybody around you is dating? It's like, oh man, that's what I'll find my fulfillment in. Oh, I see that they're happy with that thing in their life, so maybe I'll be happy with that thing in our life. College student, I want to encourage you. You can say no to temptation. But how do you do it? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear. Jesus said no because he knew, man, God's purpose is better than what the devil had to offer for me. And that's point B, is Jesus' obedience is he trusted God's purpose. As I said a moment ago, if the Lord would have taken the devil's offer about this, of the earthly splendor, of the earthly kingdoms and all this earthly authority, if Jesus would have accepted that, there would have been no cross. And if there's no cross, there's no salvation for me and you because we are sinners. And we're sinners and we're in need of a Savior. And Jesus answered the second offer again with a verse from Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy 6:13. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. For Jesus to receive the glory that was promised to him, he had to first suffer. And we see that in Luke 24, verses 25 through 26. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? The devil offered Jesus a way out of suffering, but Jesus knew his purpose, that if he didn't suffer, there wouldn't be salvation for sinners. And man, praise God that Jesus didn't accept the offer. Praise God that we can experience salvation because Jesus was perfect, because Jesus said no to the devil's offer. The devil has to make his offer enticing because his offer is an empty promise. The devil's offer will only get you so far. What the devil has to offer you will leave you empty. But college student, ask yourself this question. Do you know your purpose? Because Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I want to ask you, what are you worshiping in your life? What gets your attention the most in your life? What are you serving in your life? Are you serving God in his church? Or are you so wrapped up in, man, this is what I need. This is the thing that will fulfill me. Oh, that job will fulfill me. Oh, that amount of money will fulfill me. Man, what the devil has to offer you will leave you absolutely empty. Matthew 16, 26 says this, for what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? Don't let the devil make you think earthly splendor is better than God's eternal sacrifice. Don't let the devil make you think earthly splendor is better than God's eternal sacrifice. Man, college students, I can tell you this, man. God loves you. You are loved by God, and he sacrifices life for you because of Jesus Christ. So why bow to the lust of the flesh? Why bow to the lust of the eyes? And then the last one, the devil's third offer is this right here, the pride of life or the pride of one's possessions. Like I said in point one, man, the devil would love for you to think, oh, I got this. And this is where we see the devil quote scripture. Verse 9 says, so he took him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, do not test the Lord your God. After the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The third offer by the devil is the pride of life. The devil had one more thing to throw at Jesus, and it came with a twist. It came with the devil using using the word of God in his own way. And man, don't you know, people will twist scripture to fit their lifestyle. That's what the devil tried to do to Jesus. He tried to twist the scripture out of context so that Jesus would prove a point, so that Jesus would show who he really is. But Jesus knew it, man. It's written, do not test the Lord your God. We don't get to twist scripture to fit our lifestyle. We have to change our lifestyle to fit scripture. Scripture is the example. But sadly today, college students, this is what happens. People will hear scripture used out of context and they'll let that justify their actions. Or we'll hear somebody use one verse of scripture and say, oh, I'm good. Oh, they had that verse to attach to it. So, man, I'm good. I can keep living the way I'm living. But Jesus, knowing the context of scripture, was able to correctly reply with Deuteronomy 6:16. When it comes to resisting temptation, you need to ask yourself, will I take God at his word or will I take the devil at his? Because again, the devil uses scripture, but he uses it out of context. College student, do you spend enough time in God's word to know the context of God's word? Do you know the context of God's word? Because this teaches us an important truth. The devil can't handle the proper use of scripture. Are you training yourself to properly use scripture? 2 Timothy 2:15 says this right here. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of God. Now we have to, man, we need believers who are correctly teaching the word of God. The devil left Jesus alone because Jesus resisted him continually. Jesus didn't accept the second offer. Jesus didn't accept the third offer. He denied every single offer. And I think for some of us in here, we came in here tonight and we deny the first offer. Like, oh, we know we shouldn't do that. And then the other thing comes to us. Well, you know, I'm a little on edge about that. And then the devil offers us that last thing and says, oh, I don't think this is that bad. The Bible is very clear how you can have victory against temptation, but it calls you to action. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to resist the devil. Resist the devil. If you think you can handle temptation in your own strength, I want to ask you, how's that been going for you? Because, man, you can have victory. You don't have to live in a losing battle. You can have victory against temptation. The devil has practiced with these same attacks over and over and over again. So what are you doing to defend against them? What are you doing to defend yourself against the attacks of Satan? And maybe you came here tonight and you feel like you're losing the battle, man. I hope this encourages you, knowing that you can have victory. Many feel so attacked because they resist so little. I want you to think about that. Many feel so attacked because they resist so little. But when we live in the Word of God and we are led by the Spirit of God, all the devil can do is flee. When we live in the Word of God and when we are led by the Spirit of God, all that the devil can do is flee from you. But will you properly use the Word of God? Will you pray the Word of God over your life and over your loved ones? Will you study this continuously? Because again, the devil is a loser, but he won't quit. Notice that the Bible says, left him alone for a moment of time. He departed from him for a time. Not forever, but just for a time. I bet for some of you in here, man, if you're not feeling the attacks of the enemy, I want to ask you, have you bowed to him? Have you accepted his offers? Because the last thing we see from Jesus is Jesus' obedience. He trusted God's plan. Jesus trusted God's plan. Because all three of the devil's attacks were focused on the same thing, college student. All three of the devil's attacks, what he wanted Jesus to do is act independently of God the Father. He wanted him to do it himself. And I want to ask you, is that what you are doing? Are you acting independently of what God wants to do in your life? Are you doing it in your own strength, as I've said over and over tonight? Are you doing it your way, or would you trust God's plan for your life? Because God has a plan for your life. God wants to use you in this life. Because again, going back to purpose, the most fulfilled life you can live, if you want to live a fulfilled life, man, I challenge you. Are you being faithful to Jesus, and are you telling other people how to be faithful to Jesus?